Well, good morning, church.
He is risen.
If you didn't know your part is he is risen indeed. Say it like you mean it. Christ is risen. Thank you for being here today. You know what you just told the devil? Jesus Christ is very important to you. Folks, we will find time for things we find important in life. This is important to us.
Never said that I would give you silver or gold, or that you would never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. And I did say, don't make this world your home. Never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you never have to fight. But I did say I'd be there right by your side. And I did say I'll always help you fight. To keep, my grace will be sufficient in every time I need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise, this is the promise I made to you. I never said that friends would never turn on you, or that the world around you wouldn't treat you as a fool. But I did say, like me, you'll surely be despised. But I did say, my ways confound the wise. I didn't say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'd be waiting right on the other side. And I did say I'll dry every tear you cry. You know I made a promise that I'd prepare the place, and someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with the angels and a countless multitude. This is the promise, this is the promise I made. This be your life. That hell can't separate us. You're gonna make it through. This is the promise. This is the promise. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Children, may His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family, your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. For all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. For all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down. Here, arms open wide, here you save my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, 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 Jesus. Your love ran red.
Just an image of a melody. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though it's ancient in a vine. A shrine to death that stands from life to be.
There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched
G died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross.
You see, that's why this emblem is so dear to me. It stood for suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged the gap for men, offered cleansing for our sin. An icon that reminds us that we're free.
There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose a cross.
God forbid that I should ever let my memory fade. But before I keep the cross in view, for that's where I was saved. I was saved.
There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. He chose the cross. Has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely.
is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll cling to the old rugged cross.
Ah, yes, Christ arose. He is risen. Where do you find that? In Luke chapter 24 is where we find that verse. Chapter 24, please turn with me in your holy Bibles to verse number 33 down here. And that is the tag for today's emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They rose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were there with them. But verse 34 says, the Lord is risen. Hey, He is risen indeed. Everyone say indeed. Indeed. All friends, indeed, our Christ the Lord has risen. Our Christ the Lord has risen. Wow, thank you for being a part of this very special resurrection service. The title for my brief message today is Looking for Hope in All of the Wrong Places. Looking for hope in all of the wrong places. Not only hope, looking for joy, looking for peace, looking for love. And yet the author of love, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 and following, is God Almighty. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. People are looking for God in all the wrong places. People are looking for peace in all the wrong places. People are looking for answers, happiness in all the wrong places. And yet, even here at Easter, people are looking for hope on the backside of 12 months of isolation in all the wrong places, including these women who went to find Jesus in a tomb, and He wasn't there. He had already prophesied this in the Old Testament hundreds of years before this came to pass. And at least seven times I can find, Brother Jeff, seven times Jesus said, I will rise again the third day. Don't go looking for me among the dead, for I am risen, and I am risen, what is it, class? Risen indeed. And yet the ladies, out of respect for the death of Jesus Christ, they went to the cemetery. They went to the graveyard. They went to the sepulcher. They went to the tomb. They looked inside, and yet He wasn't there. That again is where we borrow our title from today's message, Looking for Jesus, Peace, Joy, Happiness, Direction, Answer in All the Wrong Places. Luke chapter 24, it wouldn't be Easter. We didn't take time to read the Easter story that's recorded in all four Gospels. Now let me ask you here, for 10,000 Bible points, how many of you believe that the birth of Jesus Christ is in all four Gospels? Don't raise your hand, just answer in your own heart. How many of you believe the birth of Jesus Christ is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The answer is no. The birth of Jesus is not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not that that's not important, not to imply that it isn't important. Of course, the incarnation, how God Almighty sent His only begotten Son. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. And He was God in the flesh. If you believe that, say amen. And for some 33 years, He lived a life of all being, all man and all God. But then, on that special occasion, there at Passover, Some 2,000 years ago, he died for the sin of mankind. That's the gospel in the nutshell. Not that Jesus died only on the cross, but he rose from the grave. One of the last things Jesus said on the cross was tetelestai. In the Greek language, that means it is finished. Notice he didn't say, I was finished, implying himself. No, the requirement of God Almighty for a blood sacrifice was finished. All the Old Testament now was completed. So the requirements of God was completed. It was finished. But new age that you and I are living in, the age of grace, the age of love, the age of answers, the age of clarity, we have it right here in our hands, was just dawning. I love that song you all sang earlier, how the new morning was dawning there. Wow. Luke chapter 24 is one of the four gospels that records the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not his birth that saves us. It's his resurrection that saves us. You get that? If Jesus was still in the grave, you and I couldn't be experiencing what we're experiencing today. We couldn't be saying he is risen indeed. We would be serving a dead God. But how many of you know by an acclamation of hearty amens, we serve a risen Savior. Amen. He's in the world today. I know that he is living regardless, sonny, what men may say. Yes. I remember my son was about 4 years old. We were coming home from Sunday school. We just have to drive two different vehicles, and I was in my big old jacked up Blazer, big tires and motor and all that, and me and my boys there, and I was just happy. We had a good day. I said, son, I'm going to take you out to McDonald's. Now, if you don't like McDonald's, that's okay. Every now and then I sin too, and I go to McDonald's, but I said, son, we're going to McDonald's today. I said, and we're just having me and you will have a daddy-son outing here. I said, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? He said, Daddy, Jesus is real. I'll never forget it. I about wrecked the Blazer there, my big old four-wheel drive. I pulled over and said, son, what do you mean Jesus is real? You're 4 years old. He said, oh, he lives in my heart. You got that? The world says he's not real. But about a four-year-old child understands that Jesus is real and he wants to live in our hearts. Folks, it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. Can I get an amen? Samuel said it years ago, man looketh on the outside appearance, God looks on the heart. Someone says I look like a daffodil today. Isn't that funny? But I'll tell you a little secret. This is a 15-year-old suit that I bought a new tie for, and there we go, it's my Easter outfit. Like you, I don't spend money on new Easter clothes. If you listen to my Easter message, the 7 of 7 this week, you learn how I spoke against that. Oh, no. If you want to wear Easter clothes, you really want to concentrate on Easter outfits, look at what Christ Jesus wore on that first Easter morning. You know what Jesus wore? A crown of thorns with scars right here, bruises on his face, a pierced side, scars on his back, nail-scarred hands. That's the Easter outfit that gets us excited, not a Chaps or a Ralph Lauren. What gets me excited about Easter outfits, think about Jesus Christ. When he rose from the grave, he left his garments behind just like a deflated balloon right there. And even the napkin, John said, about his face. Wow. Luke chapter 24, we're going to read one of the accounts of the many resurrections of Jesus Christ. Now, upon the first day of the week, everybody say Sunday. Sunday. Yes, we are Sunday generational Christians. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, to the tomb. Now, who's they? Well, fast forward over to verse number 10. You see Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and some other women here. I love women. I married one. And that's supposed to be a joke. Women. The women were the first to show up at the tomb. Hallelujah. You know where the disciples were? Cowering. They didn't even believe it when the ladies brought back the report. God Almighty, thank you, Jesus, for godly women who are leading their families today because they have deadbeat daddies. I'm not going to get all political here, but it's time for men to stand up and be real men. Can I get amen, ladies? Lead the family. These ladies brought the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, there from the tomb. Verse number 3, they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hence, there's my title. They were looking for God in all the wrong places. They were looking for answers, for hope, for Jesus, for peace, for joy, for deliverance in all the wrong places. So it came to pass, as they were very much confused about this, they were perplexed. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, angelic celestial beings. And they were afraid, the ladies, and they bowed their faces to the men. And they said unto them, why? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. Look at verse number 6, but is what? Risen. He's risen. Yes. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, what? Rise again. This is one of the accounts of Jesus Christ predicting his resurrection, not only his sacrifice, his death, but his blessed resurrection. And verse number 8, and then they remembered his words. That's what you and I are doing today. This is Easter. We just finished the Passover, the Holy Week, preparing ourselves for a special occasion. A light went off. They remembered his word. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. In verse number 9, they returned from the sepulcher, there from the tomb, and they told all these things unto the 11. Who? The early disciples. And to the rest that assembled there. If you look down a little bit later, you see that not everyone still believed. I'm asking you here today, on the outset of this brief message, do you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What else is it going to take? The world right now has come to a screeching halt because of a silly pandemic. We have no excuse not for spending time with God. I've already said this in the outset of today's message. You know this, I know this. We have found time for things that we've found important in the past 12 months. We will do that each and every Sunday, each and every week, each and every day. We will find time for things we find important. We have come to a screeching halt. You think people will be looking up toward heaven for answers, for joy and peace and deliverance? You think people will be looking up, but they're not. They're looking around. They're looking around. What can I do to fill the void now? Dear God, help us to take advantage of this Easter 2021 and look for answers. Look for Jesus in all the right places, not like the world. Look with me again, verse number 3. They looked inside of the tomb, and yet Jesus was not there. Think about that. Looking for answers in all the wrong places. I'm going to give you some quick little things here on the overhead. Just keep your attention. What I've learned, how people are looking for God, looking for peace, looking for joy, looking for purpose of life in all the wrong places today. Just like the lady, some are looking for hope, joy, peace, God, deliverance, purpose, direction in all the wrong places. We're looking in emptiness, empty tombs. Everyone say tombs. Tombs, graveyards. Think about this. People are looking in tombs for answers. The bars have opened up again. Sporting events have opened up again. Is there anything inherently wrong with the sporting events? Of course not. Bars, that might be another story. But restaurants, campgrounds, a river, all the things are being filled with people looking for answers, looking for peace, looking for deliverance, looking for the hope. Well, that's what the ladies were doing down here. They went to the wrong place. They were looking for Jesus, and he wasn't there. Friends, you're not going to find Jesus in a bar. Probably not. You're probably not going to find Jesus out enjoying life. You need to go where God is, into the presence of God. I'm not going to imply that Moses did not find God up on the mountain, certainly. But most people that go to the mountain, go to the lake, they go to the river, whatever, in the face of this pandemic, they're still not looking for answers. They're looking for temporary fulfillment, temporary joy. Don't let this moment pass you by. Seize the moment. No exemptions, no excuses, no exceptions. We're all going to die. And yet, live right now. Live. Live. Don't just endure life. Enjoy life in the presence of God. Verse number 3 and verse number 6, they were looking for Jesus in all the wrong places, and joy and peace and hope and love and deliverance in a tomb, in a graveyard. That's one example. Let me give you another one over here. Looking for Jesus, answers, joy, peace, love, all those things in empty traditions. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing when Jesus came onto the scene. They were trying to fulfill their own lives with tradition. God made laws that they added to. They made this book of love, this book of joy, a handbook for beating people over the head. You got to dress this way. You got to act this way. That's not my God of love. It was tradition. They added to the scriptures, and the last page of the Bible says, don't add to it. It's perfect. It's a love letter to us. Everyone here deserves Jesus. Can I get amen? Everyone, red and yellow, black and white, male and female, gay and straight, and old, everyone deserves the gospel. This is not a battering rod. This is a love letter. It says God died for you on the cross, humiliated before his mother in the symbol to witnesses, stripped of his clothes, God in the flesh. Is there anything wrong with traditions? Not if you keep them in their context. How many of you have a tradition at Christmas time? You watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special on television. How many of you do that? Nobody else? Well, I'm going to have a party next year. We'll just do that here. What do you think? And I love when Linus walks out there on the stage. He says, lights, please. Lights, please. And then he quotes Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And the media hasn't caught on to that yet. You realize that? The world, as we know it, in this day of political correctness, they don't realize this little Charlie Brown musical. When Charlie Brown is trying to lead that hodgepodge choir and that little assembly of thespians, and Charlie Brown just throws his hand up and says, anybody know? Does anybody know the meaning of Christmas? And Linus comes out, I do. I love that tradition. It's a tradition in my home. We always watch Charlie Brown at least once every year. And we all shout for joy when he quotes Luke chapter 2. A tradition we enjoy in our home at Easter is watching the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston, 3 hours and 39 minutes. But that's all right. Many of you are probably, you know, welded to your seat last night watching Gonzaga, you know, and UCLA in the overtime last night. Said, whoa, that was the game of the century. Charles Barkley said that. I've never seen in all my years ever of college basketball a game like that. The winning shot. The winning three-pointer. People still talking about it. Yeah, I thought, ah, as exciting as that is, what about today? What about when Dale Jackson wrote me yesterday? He said, you realize today is April the 3rd, 2021? And I said, yeah. He said, it's 4-3-2-1. What do you think tomorrow is, preacher? I said, blast off. Yes, it's a countdown. Up from the grave he arose. Don't you get excited about that? I love basketball. I played basketball and all that. But friends, I'm going to tell you, you ask me 6 months from now who won the national championship, I'm going to go, West Virginia? Huh? That's who I rooted for. Friends, these guys right here were looking for happiness, for joy. These ladies and the men didn't even move out until Jesus shows up much later. They were looking for answers in tombs and tradition. Well, let me go to the next one down here. And times, empty times. So here he is again bashing sports. I'm not in the least bashing sports, but think about this. We get all wrapped up in the immediate, the here and now, and we miss the most important thing of the there and then. What is the preacher going to say at your funeral? Let this really sink in. What is the preacher going to say at your funeral? Boy, he loved the West Virginia Mountaineers. Oh, he loved Mama too. Or she loved her grandkids. She loved to knit. She's the best cook in the whole world. She loved this, he loved that. Don't forget hunting and fishing. Don't forget Papa's truck. Don't forget how devoted they were to the workplace. All those things. But let me ask you simply, do you love Jesus? Will that be mentioned at your funeral? At your homecoming? Is that the first thing people think of when they mention your name? How much you love God? Remember what the centurion soldier said when Jesus Christ died on the cross? Truly this was the Son of God. He was passionate about it. Are you and I passionate about it? Are we? You think about this. At the site of the Holy Sepulchre, which we're reading about right here, in 325 A.D., someone discovered, if you will, under it in a basement, they say, the actual cross that Jesus Christ died on. What do you think man did? Legend says this, with that cross. Very much what they do today. Follow the money. They started to tear off little fragments of it. They said it had medicinal purposes. Miracle producing power. Until they stopped it, and now it's supposed to be hidden someplace in the Holy Land. Someone fabricated this story. This is a cross that Jesus Christ died on. How many of you know Jesus died on the cross? All of us. How much did Jesus love us? He loved us this much. I love that. He died on the cross to take away the penalty of sin for you and me. But friends, it's not the cross that saves us. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Say it again. He is risen. Do you believe it? Have you accepted it? Would you be willing to share it with someone today? Would you? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Even the early disciples were slow learners. Wow. The ladies came back and said, he's not there. He's not there. They were looking for Jesus in an empty, emphasis being placed on empty, in an empty tomb. Just like the empty times we live in now. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live, grab all the gusto, and then you die. Empty traditions. Using everything but the Holy Scriptures. The things you and I were raised on. Empty tombs. Traditions. Times. Praise the Lord. And P.S. These women did find, did locate, did experience the fullness of Easter there when Jesus came and met them. Jesus is willing to meet you right now. Would you just open up your heart, your time, your attention, and let him come in and sup with you? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that life doesn't end here, that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Up from the grave he arose, indeed. And we in like manner too will one day rise again by putting our faith and trust in him through the power of the Holy Spirit under the authority of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, dear God, for making Easter so simple that yes, even I can understand it. Thank you for this assembly and those watching at home and those listening by radio. Speak, Holy Spirit of God. We're not going to look in the emptiness of this world. We want to go where you are, to your presence. So come, speak, move on us. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost of the living God, move on us right now.